stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Citizens Chat conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks, I would like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Kevin Larson. Kevin, please go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to join our chat today. This is number 8 in the Getting Started with WebSphere series through iSeries Nation. Today, we're going to be showing you how to get started with WebSphere performance tuning. And this time, I will be your speaker. I get to deliver the presentation this time instead of just introduce it. So to summarize where we've been, if you've joined our chats for the last several weeks, we showed you how to quickly and easily get started with various WebSphere products on the iSeries server, how to get started with products such as the IBM Web Facing Tool, Host Access Transformation Services, and iSeries Access for Web, so that you can quickly and easily show something of value to the people in your business. Today's lecture is kind of an all-encompassing lecture, if you will, in that it's going to show you, when you start to use WebSphere on your iSeries, what are the things that you can do for configuration to get the maximum possible performance. So that's why we call it Getting Started with WebSphere Performance Tuning. Again, this is lecture number 8 in the series. This is the last lecture. We hope that you found this of value. If you have comments, either positive or negative, about today's lecture or the entire series in general, beyond what we're going to be asking for in the poll at the end of this call, I would always appreciate an email from you. You can send me an email at kevlars, that's kevlars, at us.ibm.com. Would love to hear from you. And, of course, as always, this presentation is the audio is going to be archived on the iSeries Nation website along with all the other presentations so that you can share this with your customers or your colleagues at a future date. So let's go ahead and get started. If you've hopefully you've downloaded the charts from the iSeries Nation website, and we're going to get started with chart number 2 and asking, what is performance? Well, performance is a measure. It's a measure of two things, really. It's a measure of time and of resource consumption, such as memory or processing time, that is incurred to complete a set of tasks. Now, I like to think of the goal here is to minimize both of these, knowing that there are constraints involved, such as costs and available resources. But knowing that, you can visualize this as the old gopher game, right? If you remember the old gopher game where you had gophers coming out of the hole and you're supposed to bonk one of the gophers to get it to go back in its hole, what happens? Another gopher pops up. So if you want to reduce time, the measure of time, you're probably going to have to increase resource consumption. If you want to decrease resource consumption, you're probably going to realize an increase of time. So there are trade-offs that occur, costs and resources, time, et cetera, to realize the performance that you need. Now, in a WebSphere environment, performance is a little bit more complex to conceptualize because you have several interacting components that cooperate to fulfill a given request from a web browser. On chart number 3, then, just want to talk about some different performance metrics. Throughput is the number of client requests a web environment can service at a given time. So you can think of it in terms of a snapshot in time, holding time static, how many people can be serviced by a machine and a web application at one time. Response time is then the elapsed time it takes to service any particular client's request. And then load is the amount of memory, processor, I/O support, and so forth needed to satisfy all client requests at a given time. If you look on chart number 4, again, as I said, within an e-business and a WebSphere environment, you have several interacting components. Some of those are outside of the control of your business. For example, you have a client on a web browser who is using a PC to access the Internet through some sort of network connection, either a very slow dial-up connection or maybe a higher-speed T1 line, for example. You have several different security elements involved, such as a router or firewall, and maybe some components to help optimize performance and availability, such as a load balancer or a cache server. You also have your internal network and your internal servers that supply the response to any given request from a user. Now, on your iSeries system, you may have the components you see on the following or in the table below. You will have an HTTP server and WebSphere application server, which is where your web applications, such as web-facing and HATS, will run. In a little bit more of an advanced environment, you also may have these web applications interact with your iSeries database or your programs and service programs that you've invested in on the iSeries. So the question becomes, if performance is not to your expectations, where is the problem? Now, we're not going to go into a deep analysis of performance tuning and performance analysis. We're just going to give you the basics in this lecture that you need to get you on the path to an optimally performing web environment. So if you look at chart number 5, we can break down basic performance contributors into 3 different areas that interact. All right? Number 1 is the actual server environment. That is, what is the environment that you have with respect to your piece of hardware? What kind of processor do you have? How much memory do you have? And also, since iSeries is a multiple workload machine, what type of workloads, such as OLTP or Domino, do you also have running on that iSeries? You can also look at another piece of the puzzle, and that is the client and workstation environment. And for example, what kind of operating system settings do you have? What middleware are you using? What does your application design look like? And what about the data and resources you're asking? And then finally, there is the network communication, such as the bandwidth, latency, and the design of your overall network topology. Now, if you look at chart number 6, let's scale it down a little bit. Instead of looking at all of those pieces throughout an entire network, let's look just at what are the basic contributors that are going to influence performance for WebSphere applications running on your iSeries system. Again, it's a 3-part puzzle, or a 3-legged stool, if you will, where we again have the configuration of the hardware, such as how much processing power you have, how much memory you have, how much L2 cache, how your system is configured, and how you're allocating those resources to different levels of work on your iSeries. Also, is your environment configuration. Within WebSphere, how is your Java virtual machine tuned? What kind of, how effectively are you utilizing caching and request routing? And then finally, in yellow there, you see application implementation. If you are writing your own applications, it's very important to make sure that your applications are written efficiently so they don't consume more memory and processing time than is necessary. So this chart here is kind of the focus of our lecture today. We're not going to talk about all of them. We're just going to talk about the basics to get you started here. Okay, chart number 7, please. Let's start then by looking at the system configuration. This is the configuration of your iSeries system. Application performance is affected by the amount and distribution of the available iSeries resources. And I want to say that again because it's very important. It's not just how much memory you have. It's not just how much processing power do you have. It's how are you also allocating that potential to the different workloads that are running on your system. Remember, iSeries is a multiple workload machine, meaning that you can segment its resources to different types of workloads. That's where subsystems come into play, for example. So meeting your performance requirements, say, ask the questions, do we have enough hardware resources installed? And if we do, have we allocated them efficiently? Now, we're going to talk a little bit about here the work management aspects of the iSeries system, specifically within OS 400, but we're not going to give you an in-depth overview. For that, you'd want to consult the work management guide in the iSeries Information Center. Okay, let's go to chart number 8, please. So if there's two things you got to consider, number one is, do you have enough system resource? And number two, have you allocated them properly? Let's talk about the first question. How do you know how much system resource you need? Okay. Java and WebSphere applications require more processor and memory resources based on the nature of the environment. Okay, so it's important that you have enough processor, memory, disk to support a WebSphere workload as well as your traditional workloads. Now, to help you with that, we provide a tool called the IBM eServer Workload Estimator. This is an online tool that you can access, and what it allows you to do is select from a variety of different workloads that can run on the iSeries system and have you provide information that describes what that workload will be on your iSeries. And when you add up all of the different workloads that are going to be running on a particular iSeries, the IBM eServer Workload Estimator will generate an estimate of a system configuration that will meet your performance needs. So, for example, for WebSphere, you can pick a workload definition such as the IBM Web Facing Tool, or Host Access Transformation Services, or WebSphere Portal. And then within that workload, you answer questions such as, how many pages are you going to be serving, or how many screens are you going to be showing? How many users do you want to support at your peak time? And by doing this, the tool can then take all the different workloads that you intend to run and generate an estimate. Again, it's an estimate, but it's an estimate based on the facts you enter. So it's very important to understand that the accuracy of the estimate is going to improve based on the accuracy of the data you provide. Thus, you want to go down the path of understanding what your web applications are going to look like or what the performance requirements will be before you start using the tool. You can access the workload estimator at the URL below. You can also obtain professional services to do this for you from your business partner, and business partners can access IBM resources to help them with estimating workloads on an iSeries machine. So highly recommend that you use the workload estimator before you start running a WebSphere workload on your system. That just helps to ensure that you're going to have enough system capacity to support what you want to do with your WebSphere environment. Okay, chart number 9 just shows you a screenshot of the workload estimator. And again, it asks you many questions about your WebSphere workload. There are also other workloads such as OLTP and Domino. But from a WebSphere standpoint, it asks you some things such as web traffic, that you expect and so forth. Okay, chart number 10 then. If we've gone through an exercise of ensuring that we have properly estimated a system configuration and we got our system and we've got WebSphere installed and our web applications installed, it's now important to make sure that those resources we have on our system are accurately partitioned or allocated so that the different workloads can get the resources they need to effectively provide the performance you're looking for. And this is where OS 400 subsystems come into play and memory pools. A memory pool is a resource within the OS 400 that captures a subset of memory and processing time and allocates it to a subsystem. Now, a subsystem can take memory from what's called a shared pool, a memory pool that shares memory and processor time among many subsystems, or you can define a private pool and allocate it specifically to just one subsystem. Now, this isn't specific to WebSphere Application Server. However, you should know that by default, the WebSphere Application Server subsystem uses the Starbase storage pool, which is the storage pool that many of your applications will also use by default. So you have to look at the total workload on your system that's using the base storage pool. And since Java requires more memory and processing time, you want to make sure that the base storage pool has enough resources to handle all the workloads within. Now, another option you may pursue is that you may want to create a private pool, as I said earlier, and dedicate that specifically to your WebSphere application server subsystem. This gives you a little bit more isolated control, and you can effectively describe how much memory just is allocated to WebSphere application server. On chart number 11, then, the reason why it's important to provide enough system memory to your WebSphere application subsystem is because when your workload attempts to access data and instructions from memory, if it cannot find what it needs in memory, it has to go out to disk. Okay? The problem of not finding data and instructions that are in memory is called a page fault. And then reading such memory or data from memory is called paging. Now, paging can negatively affect performance. Now, you're not going to avoid paging, of course. You're always going to have some paging. But you want to reduce paging to a reasonable amount so that you're not always going to disk. Remember, of course, a basic rule that it's less expensive to go to main memory than it is to disk. Paging can also be influenced by the number of disk arms. If you have a large number of disk arms, the effects of paging are going to be reduced, or they're going to be lower than on a system where you may have only one disk arm, because that disk drive is going to have to do a lot more physical movement. So the goal is to keep your memory pool large enough so that paging is kept at a reasonable level without impacting the performance of your entire set of workloads on your iSeries. Go to chart number 12. Now, you have two choices. You can either manually allocate memory to the storage pool where WebSphere application server runs, and that should be done only by an experienced OS 400 system administrator. Or you can also specify that OS 400 manage storage pools automatically by using the queue performance adjust system value. This tells the system to run a job that automatically balances memory requirements across subsystems and storage pools. Now, this may sound like a very nice thing to do and very easy for you, but there are trade-offs, of course, because if you have multiple workloads demanding high amounts of memory, you're going to have a job, the queue performance adjust job, sit there and thrash while trying to allocate memory between the workloads, and that's going to reduce performance regardless. So you must make a decision. How are you going to allocate memory? Are you going to do it manually, or are you going to do it automatically? Chart number 13, then. Can't stress this enough. WebSphere application server maintenance packages on the iSeries are shipped in the form of group PTFs. A group PTF is a single PTF that is refreshed periodically. The number remains the same, but its contents are updated, and it's cumulative. So for each version and edition of WebSphere application server on a specific release of OS 400, there is a unique group PTF number that you order and reorder when we update it. And we update it, I suppose, every 3 months or so. Now, it's obviously important to keep as current as you can with the WebSphere application server group PTFs, because this will ensure that you get the very latest maintenance. That is, you'll get the very latest fixes. You'll get new features that we put into the maintenance packages. But also, because the WebSphere application server group PTFs also include the group PTFs for Java, our database, our HTTP server, there are times when we will put performance-enhancing fixes within the WebSphere application server group PTF. So there's several reasons, then, to make sure you are as current as you can be, and obviously from those reasons are from fixed reason. You want to make sure you're current with fixes. You want all the latest features, but also you want to make sure to get the latest performance enhancements. And if you go to the URL at the bottom of the page, you can find what the latest version of the group PTF for any of the specific WebSphere application server versions, editions on specific OS 400 releases. You can find out how to determine what release you have and how to order an upgrade to the very latest. Chart number 14, then. I'd like to just take a minute and tell you how a Java environment, which is what WebSphere is built upon, whether or not you write your own applications or not, you're executing Java code within a WebSphere environment. And, of course, WebSphere application server itself is written in Java. So it all runs on top of the Java virtual machine on iSeries. But the execution environment for Java on any platform is a little bit different than what you might be used to if your experience is executing programming languages like RPG or COBOL. With RPG or COBOL, your memory is allocated at runtime, and so your memory needs are dictated earlier. With Java, the memory requirements are dynamic. We don't know at runtime what kind of memory your application will need. Because Java is an object-oriented language, it's going to create objects in memory when those objects are needed. When they're no longer needed, they'll be put into a repository where they can be removed from memory, thus freeing up memory for other objects to be created. The place where objects are created is called the heap. Objects live in a section of memory called the heap, and when they're no longer needed, an activity called a garbage collector looks at all the objects in the heap to find out which ones can be removed and removes them. And this helps keep memory usage to a minimum. You don't want to have a whole lot of objects in the heap that aren't being used because you're just going to require more and more memory for your Java applications. Now, this is not something that you have to worry about with your applications because the Java garbage collector is automatic. It runs automatically for you. What you do have to be concerned about is the configuration of the garbage collector. You want to make sure to allocate enough memory to the garbage collection, to the Java heap, so that garbage collection doesn't run too often, but yet runs often enough so that your memory is cleared out periodically. So it's a trade-off. The iSeries garbage collector is very efficient. However, any garbage collector, if run too often, and that's a subjective term, will cause performance degradation. So again, this is a trade-off. You'll want to make sure to allocate enough memory to the Java heap so that the garbage collector will run at sufficient time intervals. And if you look on chart number 15, the Java virtual machine heap size is set within the WebSphere application server administrator's console. And it has a default value that you can configure before you start WebSphere application server. And there really isn't any hard and fast rules for what this size should be because it all depends on your application size. But there are some rules of thumb. We might recommend that you start with 96 megabytes for a one- to two-way system, and this is the default value. For larger systems where you're using more processors, you're going to want to set it a little bit higher, as you see here. So the rule of thumb is set the initial garbage collector size for a three-way and above to 64 megabytes per processor, and then from there, increase as needed. There is an excellent white paper that explains the garbage collection and the Java heap and how to set the garbage collection heap size at the URL you see on the slide, and I'd highly recommend that you share this with your customers or share it with the technical people, your administrators within your business. Let's turn to chart number 16. I want to introduce the notion of caching. Caching, of course, is a mechanism that places data in memory so that it can be accessed more quickly rather than having to go to disk. Now, typically, you cache data in memory that isn't going to change very often, if at all. So things such as a banner that's created out of a JPEG file that isn't going to change, and yet everybody sees when they access your website, probably should be cached in memory so that your iSeries system doesn't have to go to disk to fetch it every time. It thus turns and serves the request to the user that much more quickly. And there's lots of areas within a WebSphere environment, both in WebSphere application server, the HTTP server, and so forth, that provide you the ability to cache. And, of course, this is a double-edged sword because by caching things in memory that don't change very often, you can increase the speed at which you serve a client's request. Of course, this is like the old Gopher game, because as you increase the amount of data you are caching, you, of course, are increasing the amount of memory you need. So I'm just going to mention a couple of different places where caching can be of use, and the first place is the HTTP server powered by Apache. It provides what we call a local cache that can store static content such as images or static web pages in main storage. And so when a user requests a particular resource, the HTTP server won't go to disk to get that resource, which is expensive. It'll serve it directly from main memory. There are many different ways that you can cache a file. You can either copy the entire file to memory, you can keep a file descriptor open, or you can do a memory map of the file. But you can tune the HTTP server local cache through IBM Web Administration, which is, of course, accessible at http colon, the name of your iSeries system, colon port 2001. On chart number 17, a more effective caching mechanism that we just introduced in V5R2 is called the Fast Response Cache Accelerator. This is actually a cache that's implemented below our machine interface. Whereas in traditional caching, such as the local cache I explained earlier, files are cached in memory, the incoming network request still must pass the request up to the operating system, up to the HTTP server, across the MI boundary to retrieve the item in memory, and then go back down through our network interface to serve the user. And while this is certainly better than going to disk, it's expensive to cross the MI boundary. Well, the Fast Response Cache Accelerator gets around that by caching certain files into memory managed by our system license internal code. The Fast Response Cache Accelerator can be used for different networking applications, but the HTTP server powered by Apache is one of those applications. And so you'll want to use the Fast Response Cache Accelerator when you have files that don't need secure access and don't need code page translation, because the Fast Response Cache Accelerator can't cache those. So things such as a JPEG are very good for Fast Response Cache Accelerator. And as the name implies, this is very fast response, much faster than the local cache. And this was available in V5R2. Just to give you a background on chart number 18, the Fast Response Cache Accelerator is first set up with your change TCP IP attributes command, where you specify how much memory you're to allocate to the local to the network file cache. You then configure specific applications to use this network file cache. And of course, the one we have now is the IBM HTTP server powered by Apache, which you can configure again through IBM Web Administration, much like you do the local cache. Let's turn to chart number 19, please. On iSeries, we have something unique called the bytecode verification cache, which improves WebSphere and Java application startup time by eliminating the bytecode verification and creation of temporary Java program objects. This is very useful for large applications such as WebSphere Commerce and Portal, and it's configured within the WebSphere Administrative Console with a specific property for the Java virtual machine. Let's let's turn to chart number 20. Now, it's very important that you take a look at all the performance tuning aspects that you can leverage on the iSeries, and I've highlighted the very important ones here. But still, you have you might have a situation where even if you've configured or you have enough system resources, you have enough memory, you have enough I/O capacity, you have enough processing power, and you've allocated it efficiently, and you've tuned the garbage collector well, and you made effective use of caching, there still could be a situation where you're still not realizing the performance that you'd expect within your environment. So what you're going to have to do in this scenario or this situation is get under the hood and analyze your environment with different tools that help capture performance metrics from the different components that make up your e-business environment. Of course, remember, an e-business environment consists of many different components, those which are in and out of your in your control, and those are which are out of your control. So things such as the size of your client's PC, how much megahertz or gigahertz they have on their PC, what kind of network connection they're using, how much data are you sending over the network back to the client. These things aren't specific to iSeries, but they're going to have to be considered. But if you're looking specifically on the iSeries, we have a variety of different tools that will help you examine the resource consumption of your applications that are running on iSeries. Now, if you turn to chart 21, I'm not going to get into all of these because it's a little bit more advanced than we want to get. But effectively, as you see on chart 21, there are many different tools that are available, and each of these give varying degrees of information to the user. And just go through some of those that you might be familiar with, the OS400 system activity commands, which are, of course, included in OS400, are the first resource that you have available. But there are also other things, such as our verbose garbage collection flag within WebSphere Application Server, and some iSeries-specific commands called dump Java Virtual Machine and analyze Java Virtual Machine, also included in OS400, that give you data about the Java Virtual Machine that's running WebSphere Application Server. Of course, our collection services, such as PEX, are very useful in a WebSphere environment. All of these are included with OS400. There are also tools that you can either purchase or download, such as our Performance Trace Data Visualizer, which works with PEX. iDoctor, which is a suite of tools and services. Tivoli Performance Monitor, which is included in WebSphere Application Server. And the WebSphere Profiling Tool. Now, some of these, you know, such as PEX and the collection services, are obviously specific to OS400. And some of them, such as the Tivoli Performance Viewer and the WebSphere Profiling Tool, are specific to WebSphere running on any platform. So if you look at chart number 22, this kind of highlights the OS400 system activity commands. And these are commands you're probably familiar with based on monitoring overall system performance for all the workloads that are running on your iSeries, such as worked active job. Work disk status is very important, and work system status, so you can see how much disk activity is going on in your system. If your disk is doing a lot of I/O, then you know you've got some sort of paging problem. If you look at chart number 23, the verbose garbage collection is actually an attribute on the Java Virtual Machine that you can set within the WebSphere Administrator's console. And what this will do, it'll dump information to a file that will provide you with data on what's happening within the Java Virtual Machine with respect to garbage collection, how much memory the heap is using, and how many times the garbage collector is running. And this can be very valuable because it can help you to see if the garbage collector is running too frequently or if your heap size is growing at a rate that's consuming too much memory. Now, chart number 24 gives you details about our dump Java virtual machine command. This is included in OS 400, and it takes a static snapshot, again, of the Java virtual machine. It provides information such as garbage collection, class path data, and thread information. And again, with respect to performance, the garbage collection data is probably most valuable. You can see here that it takes the job information of your WebSphere application server job, and in terms of garbage collection, it shows you what the initial size of your garbage collector heap is, the maximum size, and how many garbage collections you've run since the job has started. Now, you can use this command over and over again to build some sort of profile. At the same time, if you look on chart number 25, oops, we don't have that on chart number 25. Okay, since we don't have it on chart number 25, I'll just tell you. A corollary command to the dump Java virtual machine command is the analyze Java virtual machine command. Whereas dump JVM just takes a static snapshot in time, the analyze Java virtual machine command analyzes the Java virtual machine over a period of time. Okay, now on to chart number 25. Again, instead of telling you in detail about all the tools, what I've done here is kind of given you a snapshot of all of the tools and what kind of data they return to you. Now, the data is segmented across different categories, such as system data, which is, of course, specific to iSeries, such as paging rate, disk usage, and CPU usage. Java virtual machine data, such as what is the size of the garbage collection heap, garbage collector, or the heap within, and how many times is it running? How much memory is being used by the objects that are in your JVM? How much time is being spent in certain areas of your code? And then finally, the last category would be WebSphere data, and this is resources that are consumed within the WebSphere application server. And as you can see here, we've built a table, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's a comparative list that's very important, to see that there is no one tool that provides all the data you need to effectively look at performance. So it's really a mix of tools that can help you analyze performance on iSeries, and they range from the very general data that is returned to more specific data that is returned. So on chart number 26, the question becomes what tool to use. Well, you want to use OS 400 commands. Start with OS 400 commands that return high-level data, and then narrow the scope of the performance problem to low-level data. Use collection services and Tivoli Performance Viewer to monitor day-to-day issues in performance. You'll also want to consider platform support. If you have a heterogeneous environment, some of these products, such as the Tivoli Performance Viewer, are supported across multiple platforms, or WebSphere application server running on multiple platforms, whereas obviously OS 400 system commands are specific to OS 400. You should also consider the effect that the application performance tool has on the overall performance. Okay. And I've listed this again in chart number 25 in the general category, where I said, is the use of this tool intrusive? Does it incur performance overhead over and above what your application is consuming? Okay, on chart number 27, I provided you some really good resources to further explore the details of performance tuning. The WebSphere application server homepage has a section within called Performance Considerations, and there is quite a bit of quite a few white papers that you can use. Now, if you're just getting started, I don't suggest that you get real deep into some of these papers, because they talk about technical aspects that you may not be ready to consume. But just be aware that as you progressively advance in your web serving capability, you want to make sure you know where the key resources are. We have some very good Redbooks from our Redbook site, specifically Java and WebSphere performance on iSeries is a very good one. If your web applications make use of DB2 data, highly recommend the DB2 and WebSphere version 5 performance and tuning guide. So these are the resources that I would recommend that you look as you advance your web environment. Now, if you're just getting started with web facing and hats, the tuning tips that I have given you should be sufficient to get you started. And as you need more advanced tips, as you create more advanced environments, then you want to start using these additional resources here. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it back to the conference moderator for polling and questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will conduct a brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key, followed by the number on your touch-tone phone that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We have one polling question, then we will move into the Q&A portion. Our one question is, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Kevin's chat? Press star 1 for very valuable, press star 2 for valuable, press star 3 for somewhat valuable, press star 4 for no value. Again, on a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Kevin's chat? Press star 1 for very valuable, press star 2 for valuable, star 3 somewhat valuable, star 4 no value. We'll pause just a moment. Thank you. Now we'll move into the Q&A portion. If you'd like to ask a question on today's call, press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Again, please make sure your mute function is turned off so your signal will reach our equipment. That's star 1 for questions or comments. We'll pause just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. Again, star 1 for questions or comments. And having no questions at this point, I would like to turn the conference back over to Kevin Larson for any additional or closing comments.
Very good. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we really appreciate you taking time out of your work day to attend this, both today's session and if you were able to attend any of the previous sessions in our Getting Started series. Again, we really would appreciate your feedback as to the value that this provided either to you or to your customers. This will help us gauge whether we do this again. So please, if you have comments, Kevlars, that's Kevlars, at us.ibm.com, would appreciate it. Again, thank you for your time, and have a good afternoon.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.